Hello and welcome back to the Expansion Room. And today we are going to be doing something a little bit different. I did not invite a guest for this episode because I wanted to talk more about my own journey into the work I do in the world, the realm of space that I am in. People often ask me, how did I get here? And so I decided today that we will pull the curtains back, so to speak, and share more about my own journey of how I became a therapist and do the spiritual and soul work that I do with clients, and what my own process and journey has been. So today's episode is basically my journey through science and spirit, how psychotherapy, spirituality, and soul work has really shaped my path. So let's start from kind of the beginning. And as you're listening to my story, I would invite you to reflect on your own life to see where there are threads in your life that might be woven together in similar ways so that you're able to also bring something to the world that maybe has been in the back of your mind. So let's go all the way back to the early years. I was raised in New York City, and I am a child of the 80s. And during the 80s was like the rise in a lot of things. One of them was the AIDS crisis. I kind of came of age in that time. I grew up in Queens, went to Forest Hills High School, and somewhere, I believe in my sophomore or junior year, the school began a program that invited other teens to help counsel teens that were having a hard time. It was a peer counseling program. So I was invited by our guidance counselor to offer this kind of service. And I guess they thought I was super responsible. Me and two or three other kids were invited to be trained and work with our peers in this way. And we talked about things like depression and anxiety, pressures in school, pressures at home, sex, sexuality, and yes, the AIDS crisis had just started. So there was this fear a little bit around that. And so here I was, this teenager taking on a responsibility that I didn't really think of as a responsibility. It just kind of made sense. I was already talking to friends about things and giving advice and wasn't really thinking that much of it. I grew up in a very Christian, fundamentalist Christian household. Grew up in the Pentecostal denomination. And so I remember it being a denomination of lots of rules and restriction. There was definitely a mysticism about that denomination that I did not appreciate as I was a young person, but as I became an adult and gone down this path, and I can now look back, yes. But my father, stepfather, and mother all ordained ministers at this point. And so there were a lot of things that I did not do or was not allowed to do, and things that were spoke about in church space that I was not allowed to be. It was right around this time, junior year, 16 years old, that I figured out that I was also bisexual and couldn't really talk about that, at least definitely not in my household. And there was only one friend I told in school, and he happened to be one of the other peers that was invited in for the peer counseling program. So he was the only person that knew. And we had many hours of conversation around that. So he, in a lot of ways, was my counselor while I was figuring that process out. And I was determined to not come out until I was in college. And that is exactly what I did. But a few months later, once we started this program at my high school, I was also working down the street and a part-time job working with seniors at the local community center. And that community center decided to also start a peer counseling program. And for that one, I was invited and got trained and got paid for. So here I was in high school offering peer counseling services in two different spaces, one of them paid, and learning so much. So the bug hit, and I didn't even realize it at that point. So fast forward, I go on to college, and I thought I was going to be a doctor because I really wanted to help people. I wanted to help people heal. And I was in pre-med. I'd gone off to Connecticut, started school, and in my first semester of sophomore year, I took a class that changed my trajectory. And I changed my major. I changed it to religious studies and sociology, and studied primarily sociology of African American society. And I did so because I realized something, that spirituality played a big role in one's mental health. I didn't have language for it yet, but something about that idea of connecting religion and mental health made sense to me at that point. And with that major, I got to study all the world's religions, and really understood, came to understand, especially since I had grown up in such a fundamental Christian upbringing, that there was a thread that actually ran through and runs through all the world religions. At the mystical level, they're all very much so the same or similar. And I started to then see people in a different way, that we in some ways are all connected. Still didn't have a full understanding. Here I was, sophomore year into junior year and eventually senior year. But that was the start. Those were my early leanings. And I didn't have a lot of spaces where I could talk about these things. And I was still trying to connect the dots. But there was a connection for me of mental health and spirituality, and I was no longer moving towards becoming a doctor. So when I graduated from college, I went on to become a case manager, like a community, based case manager, and I worked also at suicide hotlines, two in particular when I was in Connecticut still, and then when I moved down here in Maryland. And that work in particular is what led me to decide to definitely get a master's degree in counseling. I was not looking to do a degree necessarily in psychology or social work, clinical social work. And so I kind of waited a while and allowed myself to work in community and connect with people, in deep ways, especially on those hotlines. When you're talking to someone at their lowest moment that they are thinking about taking their own lives, there's a vulnerability, an intimacy there that forms. And so it was in that work that I realized, yeah, I want to become a licensed therapist. But none of the programs that I found initially, really made me excited to move forward with them until I found the pastoral counseling program at Loyola College here in Maryland. And as soon as I read the description, it clicked. It made perfect sense to me that bringing mental health and spirituality together was going to be my path. That program stood at the intersection for me of mental health, which is what I knew, as well as spirituality and my own upbringing and my own understanding of religion by that point. So I started that program in, I believe, 2001, literally 2 weeks before 9/11. And so I mentioned that because it was so pivotal, right? I had waited all this time, got into this program, and then the world is reeling, especially the United States is reeling from these attacks. And our school's response was amazing because it was a lot of prayer, meditation, holding each other in space to grieve. I felt like if I was in a different program, I wouldn't have gotten that opportunity. And so it really solidified for me that I knew that I had chosen the right program. During the time I was there, I learned the structured, evidence-based theories and practices that all therapists are supposed to learn in order to become a licensed therapist or licensed psychotherapist. But it also gave me the understanding, the sense of how to invite in spirituality into the therapy room with and for my clients, where other therapy training programs did not offer. Right. And so coming out of that program, I could both help people understand their thoughts, beliefs, and feelings and their behaviors, and learn how to, in challenging situations, employ healthy coping skills, as well as help them to know themselves on a deeper spiritual level that I just didn't feel like I was going to get in another program. So I have loved the fact that that was the program that found me, and gave me the foundation of the work that I do in the world. Now, even though I had that foundation based in evidence-based science, of course, there was a growing part of me that really started to acknowledge that not everything could be worked out in talk therapy, especially trauma, deep trauma experiences. I started to realize in that first few years of me being a therapist, and mind you, I opened my part-time private practice almost as soon as I graduated with that degree, with the supervision of an older, more established therapist. But I started to realize in those first few years, I was like, oh, there's more that I need in order to work with people who have deep trauma in their backgrounds, especially if it's the kind of trauma that was ongoing, maybe even in childhood. And so that spirituality for me had to play a bigger role in the therapy space. And so I began the next phase of my journey by looking for what could I bring in that would be more spiritual as well as somatic. So we're about to take a break. And so when we come back, we'll talk about that next phase of my journey.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a purpose-driven individual looking for deeper healing, clarity, and growth? Welcome to the Expansion Room, a transformative space for purpose-driven individuals. I'm Siobhan Larice, host, licensed therapist, and coach. Join me every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
So welcome back to the Expansion Room. And this week, I am talking about my journey over the last 22 or more actually years of becoming the kinds of therapist that I am today and why I work with the people that I work with today. And so in moving through the pastoral counseling program here in Maryland at Loyola, I found that not only the stress of being in a master's program while having a full-time job, as well as the shift in the environment as the country was still reeling from 9/11, and then some other stressors in my life, I had started to develop some health issues, and some of them related to mental health, anxiety. I'd figured out by then that I had lived with anxiety for a long time, but growing up in the family I grew up in, of course, we didn't use that word. But I had lived with like a low-grade anxiety that was a little bit more elevated since 9/11, as well as I had physical symptoms that later we found out was attributed to the diagnosis of fibromyalgia. So the experience that I was having, those symptoms were mostly roving pain, joint pain, muscle pain, that was non-explicable, as well as brain fog, fatigue, those kind of symptoms that were popping up for me. And this had started right around age 30. So as I experienced those things and doctors couldn't quite tell me what was going on, I started to turn inward and pay more attention to what I needed. And it was at that time that meditation popped up on my radar in a more significant way. As I was moving through the program, not only were we taking, of course, therapy theory courses, right? But we were also taking courses that helped us to step more into mindfulness practice, which was a totally new thing for me. And so as I stepped more into mindfulness and then meditation, I also started my own meditation practice, got back on my yoga mat. I had done yoga off and on in my 20s, which started actually in high school. And so I eventually got back on my yoga mat and started to inwardly drop in and pay attention and ask myself, what do I need today, basically, right? And in doing that, I started to notice a shift in my symptoms experience, that the intensity of pain had started to lower, or even the incidence of pain had started to decrease. And so I just kept doing what I was doing. I kept exploring the practices that I was learning in the training program. And it really started to help. That was my first aha, that a spiritual practice can have physical effects as well as mental effects on the body. Now, I had mentioned that I had a full-time job while I was in school. And so when I graduated, I also changed full-time jobs. And I was no longer working at the suicide hotline, but I was working for the federal government. That's a whole different stressor. We won't go there today. But in my job one day, I realized while I was still practicing meditation and still practicing yoga, I was at my desk one day and I realized that my shoulders were raised a little bit, right? Shoulders were raised and I was tense and I was breathing in this, what I now know is a shallow breath. Right? It was a shortened breath. I had already known enough about mindfulness practice that it extended to the breath. I had not yet started breath work, but I took a deep breath that day and just allowed myself to notice what I felt. Then I took another and allowed myself to notice. And then another. And I realized my shoulders relaxed, right? And my breath became less shallow. It enabled me to have a thought that, oh, my clients could use this, right? As I had gravitated in my 20s, I had become less and less enchanted with institutionalized church and was becoming more interested in studying the other world religions more deeply than I had in my undergrad years. And so here it is now, I'm post master's degree and I'm going back to some of the religions that I had studied in my youth, and all of them always brought me back to Eastern philosophies. So if there are past lives, I truly believe my past lives were in the East. And so those yoga philosophies led to all of the yoga practices eventually for me, including breath work. Breath work became a powerful tool that I could use not only in my own life, but also with my clients who had anxiety. When they would come to sessions stressed, I would teach them a box breath or the ratio of 4 counts inhale and 4 counts exhale, right? Enabling them to realize they had the power to also control their anxiety. For me, breath work was this tangible thing that I and anyone else could do in the moment that they felt anxious in order to decrease their experience of anxiety in a physical way. And so it was at that point in my career that I started looking for a yoga therapy program, some program that would teach me the skills that would help to, that I could help patients or clients to use somatically so that we could know how to shift our state of being at any given time. And so I found that program through Breathing Deeply, yoga therapy school, and it's in upstate New York. So for 2 years, I was going back to upstate New York for week-long trainings in the various aspects of yoga therapy. It was a very powerful training for me and a very powerful time for me in my life, because each thing that they taught, from how to use asana for mental health, breath work for mental health, and then this powerful thing that I still use even today for ending yoga classes, as well as working with clients for trauma, around trauma, is yoga nidra. Everything that they brought to us, I would work on for myself, as well as for clients. I had an experience with a client, which I think I mentioned in a previous episode, who had PTSD and had had a flashback. And we switched from talk therapy to yoga nidra. And a little bit of yoga asana on the mat was in there, because she was also a practicing yogi. 4 weeks of yoga nidra without having to shift her medication in any way helped her get back to a state of balance, the state of balance she'd had before that flashback. And so that program taught me that there was so much more healing available to all of us, more even than just talk therapy, right? More even than the theories that I had been trained on, the evidence-based science. Since I've graduated from that training program at Loyola, we have now seen the research roll out about how mindfulness can help shift mental state. And so it's like the science kind of caught up with where I was already going, which really rocked my world when I started to see those articles. So my yoga practice and all of the mindfulness components encompassed in it also led me to soul work. And so when we come back from this break, we'll talk more about soul work, or what is also called psychedelic integration. So come on back.
Misalignment within your sales team or with a client stalls deals and creates unnecessary friction for you and the client, resulting in up to 37% lower win rate. If you're in pre-sales, sales, sales management, or sales enablement, and you'd like to increase revenues, win rate, margins, client satisfaction, and stay competitive, this show is for you. Hi, I'm Art Fromm, host of the Making Seamless Sales Show. Please join me live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hello and welcome back to the Expansion Room, where today we are talking about my journey to the work that I do today in the world. So I am a psychotherapist. I am also an integration coach, as well as a yoga therapist and psychedelic therapist. So how did I get here? And so far we've talked about what brought me to grad school and brought me to become a psychotherapist. And we've talked about what brought me to yoga therapy school and why I began to integrate mindfulness practices into my therapy program with some of my clients. Both have helped me immensely as an individual, but then also I was able to work with other people around those things. And so in this segment, we'll talk more about psychedelic integration, or what we also like to call soul work. And soul work refers to the personal and spiritual journey of self-discovery, growth, and inner healing. And when people make the decision to consciously step into psychedelic therapy, or even microdosing psychedelics, there is something powerful that happens, because it is different than using psychedelic medicines in a social or recreational way. They are powerful medicines of transformation. And when you can come to them consciously with an intention, it can then change your life. And then following that experience, stepping into integration, which is the powerful work that I love to do, where you really process what happened in that experience and how to apply that to your life. Maybe how to step away from or let go of something as you move in and towards something else. So that's the power of the soul work. It is often described as a psycho-spiritual path because it integrates the psychological as well as the spiritual dimensions of who we are. And so that's what drew me in to this kind of work. It's almost like the next level up to what I was already offering. Psychedelic work is the uncovering of one's true essence and purpose, as well as potential in the world. Some of the key aspects of soul work is self-discovery, finding your authentic self, your core values, your passions, what lights you up? Who are you behind the traumas that you have experienced in your life? We all have experienced some level of little t or big t traumas. And a lot of us are defined or define ourselves by those traumas. But who are we really when we pull away the mask of the trauma? Who are we behind the trauma? That's the self-discovery, right? Healing of these traumas, the emotional wounds, the fears, the unconscious patterns. Some people like to call that shadow work, right? And so stepping into psychedelics allows for the shadow work to come to the surface and be healed. Integration is the striving for the alignment, right, of the different aspects of our lives, of who we are, between our thoughts, our beliefs, our actions, and our behaviors, the values in our lives. How do we embody all of these different aspects of who we are? And then there's, for a lot of people, connection of purpose. Like, what am I here to do? A deeper understanding of one's meaning in this life. Right? So if you have the experience of the healing, you have this profound self-discovery, right? And then you can integrate all the parts of yourself and embody who you truly are, then you can find a sense of purpose. Some of the practices that are common in soul work are meditation, right? Connecting with nature, getting out in nature, mindfulness practices as a whole, journaling, creative expression, therapy and coaching. Let's see, I think that's it for now that I can think of. I find that soul work also allows for a new level of self-compassion. As a therapist, I can still be amazed by the level of negative self-talk that so many people have going on in their head. The kind of negative self-talk that they wouldn't say to a friend or even a child, but they say to themselves. And when you step into this kind of work, there's a level of self-compassion and gratitude that emerges. And that level of compassion starts to expand into your whole life and into the world. It is a shift almost in personality. I know for myself, when I stepped into this work in training, I had always acknowledged or seen myself as an introvert. One who did not like to be out in front of anything. I've spent a lot of years, maybe the first 15, 18 years of my private practice, squirreled away in a tiny little room talking one-on-one with clients. I didn't even like to run groups because that was just way too many people in a room. The work that I've done on myself, soul work through psychedelics and psychedelic integration, shifted my personality just a little bit. At least enough for me to say yes to doing a podcast, like this. 5 years ago, even 3 years ago, this would have been an absolute no. So the shift for me has been like this expansion, right? This opening up more to the world. And it does that for a lot of people. They have these moments where they shift. Something in their personality shifts and they become more of the person they were always meant to be. Integration is key. And I'm always on my soapbox about integration because it can take the experience of a psychedelic journey and help people make sense of it and help them to then shed old wounds consciously, shifting perspective about or perception about those old traumatic experiences, and then choose or decide to be the more expansive version of themselves moving forward. One of the things that I have found very powerful in the work that I do is the healing of trauma, the healing of old wounds, because that's what I started to realize in those early days of me being a psychotherapist, that talk therapy alone was not going to be enough. And when I have facilitated psychedelic cannabis journeys and to help people integrate psychedelic journeys, also sitting for psilocybin journeys, the traumas that come up for people that they are then able to look at in ways that they've never been able to. Can you imagine someone having a childhood trauma that every time they think about it, they are sobbing in tears for years into their life? And they do a journey and then sit for integration and realize that they are able to take a step back from that trauma and see it from a different perspective. And to then be able to talk about it in a way they've never been able to talk about it before, without the sobbing, without the tears. And to then make a decision to say, I can see this differently now. And it will not control my life moving forward. That's the power of soul work. That's the power of psychedelics. People who decide to microdose may not have huge, intense experiences as one would have with a macrodose journey. But the shifts and changes do happen. And I've always, when I'm working with someone who's microdosing, especially for people who are choosing to microdose because they want to shift something in their work in the world, in their business, or have more creativity, I always tell them, have your intention set every time you microdose. Because the intention that you bring to that process helps your energetic field bring you what it is that you want. And then as I'm working with them, usually I'm coaching someone who's microdosing, but sometimes they're also a psychotherapy client, then we bring that into our sessions so that you can integrate it into your life. What was the aha moment that you had while you were microdosing this week? What was the creative idea that came up for you when you were microdosing this week? And let's talk about it. And then how do you then apply that to your day-to-day life? How do you apply that successfully in your business? Right? So these are the ways in which I help people do their soul work because of the way I've been able to do mine over the years. This is the kind of work that lights me up, that I get excited about. We're about to take our final break. And so when we come back, we'll talk about my vision for the future in reference to this kind of work in the world. We'll look ahead because I'm seeing some shifts in the world around us, in our society. And I feel like, I sense, I gather that we're going to have to make a shift in the mental health field because of it. So come on back and join me.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Ready to serve up success with a splash? Hi, I'm Bruce Kramer, a.k.a. the Corporate Cockroach.
I'm the Renaissance Woman, Angie Snowball.
And I'm your strategy doctor, Dr. Navtej Dasanjh, inviting you to serving up success with a splash.
Join us as we shake things up with real talk and real strategies centered around awareness, action, and accountability.
And yes, there really is a cocktail involved. Please join us and sip your way to success.
Serving up success with a splash, where wisdom meets happy hours. Cheers!
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Expansion Room. So what is the future of healing? And that is a thought that I've been pondering probably since we came out of the pandemic. With my desire to be more open to the world and more expansive, I've been giving a lot of thought to how do we move forward in mental health, for one. There are more and more people acknowledging that they're struggling than ever before. And more people are willing to admit they've experienced trauma in their life. When I was first trained, that word trauma was reserved for people who had been to war, so veterans, and people who had had a traumatic experience, like maybe you witnessed gun violence or had some other one-time experience. But now we realize there's this thing called chronic PTSD, where someone who grew up in an abusive household can have this diagnosis, or complex PTSD, who grew up with violence on this kind of day-to-day basis over years, or if you grew up in a violent neighborhood, that can leave its mark on you in a traumatic way. And so it broadened the definition of trauma. And so with that means there's a lot of hurt people in the world, perhaps also hurting other people, right? And so there's a lot of healing that needs to happen. and more people are stepping into healing spaces. So the role I feel for psychedelic therapy when combined with psychotherapy and mindfulness practices is poised to be transformative in both mental health care and the broadening understanding of human consciousness. The integrated approach presents a powerful synergy with each component enhancing each other, right? And so with the role of psychedelics, it's a catalyst. It's a catalyst for change. It doesn't seem to matter which medicine you choose, but it's a catalyst for change and a window that opens for neuroplasticity, which we've talked about on this show, right? Where you remain more flexible than rigid. There is a rapid and profound breakthrough that happens for many people who step in psychedelic space, where like your default mode network is just brought down just a little bit so that you can let go or release rigid thought patterns. There's a lot of emotional processing that happens in that space. And the enhanced brain flexibility expands, right? You don't just have it in the psychedelic space, but it could expand a little further into your life. Like for me, where I may still be an introvert, but I don't always feel as introverted as I used to. The role of psychotherapy here in this container is still to be the container. It's like the essential framework that psychedelics and psychedelic integration can be housed in or held in. It's the space for integrating the psychedelic experience. It's the space for preparation and intention setting. Right? It's the space for setting, right? Guidance through the session, as well as the integration that follows. And in this context, the role of mindfulness is the sustaining vehicle. It's almost like the glue that runs between the two. It helps you to build skills like meditation and breath work and other mindfulness practices that help you to have present centered awareness. It is the sustainer of the neuroplasticity and it helps prevent relapse. So oftentimes people have big breakthroughs in psychedelic experiences. And then they do integration, and it's the mindfulness practice that helps them to remember long-term what it was that they gained out of that experience. And so it is the sustainer. And so that's why I think of mindfulness practices as the glue that runs between. So the future impact on humanity for these three modalities, it's revolutionizing mental health, shifting the paradigm of healing, and enhancing the collective consciousness and empathy, which we seem to be lacking in this world right now. And it will deepen personal growth. So in the work that I do now, I have merged those three modalities. I offer psychotherapy, which I call mental wellness and mindset shifting. I bring in yoga therapy, which is really about mindfulness practices and medicine work, right? medicine work, including microdosing. So I created a year or so ago this program called the 3M model, where I can bring those three things together in the work that I do with people who are looking to heal and expand, and to be able to bring something into the world, maybe through their work, through their business, that can then help other people. And so I know for a fact healing is not linear, and it is a process. But I think these three modalities together can give people the tools that they need in order to become the creator of their life that they were always meant to be. And so that is the work that I do now. And this is the journey that I've shared with you today that I've been on for all these years that has led me to this moment. I wouldn't change a thing. I'm glad to be here doing the work I'm doing now in this world that is shifting and changing right before our eyes. So, if anything that you've heard today resonates with you, I'd ask you to really think about what are the threads that run through your life that are just waiting to be woven together. I hope that this has been helpful for you, and that if you have found something helpful for you, that you will pass it on to a friend that you think could benefit. And I would ask you also to like and subscribe on whichever platform that you're listening or watching me on. And come back next time, where we will continue to have purpose-driven conversations that are about healing and growth. Take care of yourself. I'll see you next week.
NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.